Hello, and welcome to a Mondays on Tuesdays. It has been nice weather for a few days in a row here in Iowa, and people are out and about. Talked to a barista at a Starbucks at a grocery store mentioning they had a busy Thursday, which is interesting. Friday's usually their busy day. Similar stories from other places, and people are moving around, even though it's late February. I like to joke that they made this month short for a reason, because everybody hates it. And the industry that has chosen to greenlit my existence is the restaurant industry. My interview ratio is 4-to-1 applications to an interview, which in this day and age is awesome. And I am experientially qualified for 4 other places: for software, for administrative assistance, and for what was the fourth one? I know there's a fourth one. There's a fourth one somewhere. I don't even remember. Oh, data entry and technical writing. And my interview ratio in those industries is 0. Goose egg. And that's the state of the world. I have all these experiences when I speak to everyone from patent attorneys to marketing professionals to business administration professionals, investors. They all treat me like an expert. They treat me like I have the domain knowledge. I could probably pass an interview in any one of those spaces, but my software resume seems to qualify me to be a line cook. So, kind of a funny time. I do very much enjoy working in restaurants. When I'm not super burned out physically, there's something magical. And a lot of people have said this. There are certain sort of like fast food coffee shops that pay better than line cooking at some of the restaurants I've been in. And people talk about how crazy they are to want to be a line cook on a busy night and paid less. And there really is a magic to food prep. And, you know, people come in, you can see they're kind of anxious, cranky, and then they leave satisfied. There's, you know, hop in their step. That is so much more satisfying than the companies I worked for several years, never knowing if the system actually worked. Never knowing if the system was actually needed. The work followed me home at night. I was worried about this thing, that thing. Not the case. When the food goes out, the people eat it, they pay, they leave. They leave happy. So there is a real magic to that idea of service in real time that I do very much enjoy. Interestingly, I do have an update from Compare Basic today. I was expecting when I put things on hold and grabbed my income from other places that I wouldn't, but I do. Turns out I've had 2 of my most productive days being kind of like, you know what, there's no pressure here. I'm not, you know, crowdfunding or looking for donations right now. May as well just code on this thing that's kind of fun. And I just got a ton of stuff done. Maybe it's like the effect where when you stop looking for your keys, you find them. I don't know. But what I will say is this. So what I got done was the wrapper for a Python module so that the Seneca system can run parallel in memory within the same process of a Python process. And it doesn't do a whole lot other than list out the memory usage of that, you know, 16 megabyte block of where the Seneca runtime lives. And to do that, there are so many things that have to get set up. It has to set up the memory manager, which validates the lookup structure, the span structure, all kinds of initialization code. And so this tiny little feature of printing out the current memory usage of the Seneca runtime is actually verifying a ton of stuff. So it'd be really interesting to see how this evolves now that I'm planning to basically just layer in a bunch of part-time jobs, and there's a chance I may never return to full-time work again. There is a Seriously Human design for a part-time hourly worker, and I kind of think multiple income streams may be the future. It's kind of the grown-up word for the gig economy, because fractional's just a dumb word. The topic of today is the chicken or the egg, and I'm talking about some of the vulnerabilities in the job hunting and work searching world, as well as some very basic fundamentals of economics, the sort of concept of a loan or the concept of initial investment. So this should be pretty cool, and as you can hear, maybe it's kind of a not caring, but I'm in a pretty good mood. Back after the break. So the spirit of the question of the chicken or the egg is the concept of needing something to have something that you need to have something else you need that you need to have something else you need, and which one comes first in this chain of sort of overlapping dependencies. The other analogy in the space of the chicken or the egg is Ouroboros, which is the snake eating its own tail, which I actually think is a better analogy. And if you want to be pedantic about evolution and evolutionary biology, there were lizards long before there were birds and there were fish that laid eggs. So eggs were around before chickens. Not really in line with the spirit of the statement, but if we want to have an answer to the question, that can be your answer. The first thing that comes to mind for me is what is money to begin with? It's this weird kind of fake thing, but that has really real consequences and stuff like that. So my understanding of money is that it started in a few different ways. It has become a few different things. The best research I have done is that it actually was initially a means of taxation to ensure that the monarchy always had the top spot in the economy. So there was a government in, I think, medieval Europe that was carving sticks a certain way, so they broke apart so they could fit back together. And they would keep one half and give one half out to people. And then people would freely transact these, like, stick parts. And that would form the economy. And when tax time came, people were required to bring back a certain number of sticks that would fit together. And then they would burn them, make some more. So it wasn't really a model of, you know, print money and then collect taxes. It was mostly just, you know, make sure we're in the loop. Make sure you bring some back to us. And then when it comes back, it's kind of like a balance that gets, you know, zeroed and destroyed. That seems like sort of the beginning of the sort of Western European capitalistic model we kind of have now. Now, money obviously has become much, much more than that. The stock market is much more complicated than that. A lot of our loan instruments, the way currency is, the fact that you can exchange an old dollar bill for a new dollar bill at no charge. I mean, there's all kinds of aspects to money that are different. And one of them is the idea that you can give money to someone and they can give it to someone else and they can give it to someone else. And so there's no sort of third party government oversight as long as you're selling things that are not illegal to sell. It seems like this bastion of choice, this bastion of people living fairly and autonomously. And I think if we think deeply about where we are economically, that's not as true as it would seem. And the chicken or the egg factor of money is that you do always need stuff to make stuff. So the simplest example is a manufacturing plant that needs equipment to build things out of raw materials, metals, solvents, plastics, cures. Maybe they need to build certain components for the pressing to then make the stuff, And so someone has to buy the equipment before they sell stuff at all. And so asking them to use the money from their revenue to pay the staff and have the things to make the revenue is a fundamentally chicken and the egg problem. Same thing in restaurants. You know, you hire a staff, you design recipes people want to eat, you must buy the ingredients, pay the staff to open the restaurant, clean the floors. There's a whole bunch of things that have to happen. You even have to serve the food before they pay for the check. Oh, wow, what a crazy concept. And what's really interesting here is that a restaurant only stays in business if they can sell their food for such a high number compared to their staffing and labor costs and their raw ingredients and the price of the rent. It's really a lot more. And when you think about that, what that means is that those raw ingredients are worth less. So that staff has taken something worth less and made it worth much, much more through combination techniques and their intelligence and their efforts. So this is how money grows in value. You know, the idea of like a buy low, sell high is the only models doesn't really do justice. There's a lot more about business success that has to do with transformation. It's, you know, I guess it would be take low, transform to high, right? You take the, you know, the spots, you know, in a sports program, and you place an advertisement in it that people both are enjoy enough to watch to buy something, and the person buying that spot. So you've basically taken real estate and time, and through your efforts as a marketing company, you've increased the value of that real estate and time. So it's not so much buy low, sell high, as it is transform low into high. And you needed to pay your staff to do it before it was up there. You know, so, you know, chicken or the egg, it does take money to make money. And this is where, you know, bank loan funding or private equity funding or venture capital funding comes into play, is the idea that money in the right places does transform into more wealth for the people involved and for the people, you know, purchasing. And there's another aspect to chicken or the egg-ism that I'm going to talk about, which flips in a kind of a different territory, which is employment. And this isn't one that works very well. It's actually quite a problem, which is the idea that as I'm reading a lot of different job descriptions these days in, you know, as I mentioned earlier, variety of different types of work, I'm noticing a real adherence to employers wanting someone to already have done exactly what they're expected to do the day they show up, and likely for some time. So they post a job title in a job opening, and they phrase it as must have, you know, 4 to 6 years doing exactly this. And there's two problems here. Number one, I don't see hardly any postings for entry level anything. And because I've, you know, parachuted out of white collar into, you know, whatever I can find, my search options are very, very open. And it is terrifying how few entry level things are there. My heart really goes out to anyone who's starting their career, having graduated or not graduated from college, either one, because slim pickings, you know, people really are obsessed with this. I want something that already exists, and that kind of breaks the fundamental laws of the world we live in, which is things need to be supported before they become something credible. So that's a challenge for entry-level workers, but it's also a challenge all throughout the economy because, you know, the manager of a restaurant, people want to see a resume that says manager of a restaurant. If it's, you know, lead accountant or head nurse, there's an expectation. I'm not looking at the nursing positions. I do read them sometimes. But there's an expectation in these positions that someone has been trained on someone else's time in someone else's environment. And so the model of the economy essentially is you go to school and you deal with being bored out of your mind and procrastination by, you know, popping stimulants, basically. And then you get out into the world and you try and learn how to communicate because there's no, you know, individual GPA or test you can study for in a complex work environment. And you figure that out after a few years, and then you are required to get promotions within the company you're in to qualify you for the next title hop, which is a parallel move to the next company. And then you have to do something to, I don't know, get to the next step. And the amount of hiring that I witnessed in software companies that was external, where lead engineer came from somewhere else, they weren't promoted internally. Well, how'd they come from somewhere else if they weren't promoted internally where they were? This is the kind of chicken or the egg problem that I think has really broken down the working world and given the not just impression, but very real experience that the sort of, I don't know, the system's rigged and people are climbing the ladder and either like knocking a few rungs out so it's harder to climb or just knocking the ladder down as soon as they get up to the top. I mean, that's a really real experience. And this factor of titles expecting someone of that title to come in there and the requirements being completely impractical about how you would ever get these requirements unless somebody takes a chance on you that apparently nobody takes these days. So that's kind of a sad chicken or the egg situation in a really, really problematic way. But there's something really, really tough in the middle of this. And what's tough in the middle of this is when you add into the mix pivoters. So in absence of having the skills and maybe even doing the job but not having the title, that's one version of the problem. But if you're in an industry like mine, which was software, and there are a whole bunch of things we did to manage the team that is very similar to the career I had before I learned to code, which was administrative assistants. I was an assistant to the general manager of Sony Red Distribution at one point as they were transitioning from Sony Music to Sony BMG. I was also an administrative assistant for Giorgio Armani's accounts payable department. I did some work on some events for Bobby Brown, Estee Lauder. There were a few. I mean, I was in quite a bunch of companies. I was, I believe, I was at Standard Chartered, CIBC. These are all banks, like filing departments for banks, records departments. And so my ability to navigate a filing cabinet, locate records, print them out, create statements, organize calendars. It's pretty good, but I haven't done that for 15 years, and it's hard to justify. But what's happening with the recipe of go to college, pick an industry, and stay there forever? You cannot leave. The problem that that creates is a like this chicken or the egg concept of title challenges. Time's really 1,000 because a lot of the skills that I had in a software industry are fundamentally organizational skills. And while I could fit that into many, many careers across many, many offices, it is such a hard sell. And if you further consider that there's a whole bunch of federal employees here in the, great US of A that have all been laid off from the government, now my software engineering resume is competing with like nuclear scientists that are pivoting into the business world. And so this chicken or the egg problem, I think we're going to be in a better place when the chorus of people saying, hey, the way we advertise jobs and find jobs is not getting us the talent as companies. We're running out of qualified people. We got to find a way to have actual conversations with actual people and actually get people back to work and actually get the skills we need back into our companies, because the current conventions are so unapologetically attached to superficiality. And I'm going to finish this with a simple phrase, which is not to make myself sound like a totally old fart, though at 41, I'm on my way there. I remember a time when "Don't judge a book by its cover" was a statement that meant that you should read deeply into the content of something. And I think that's been replaced with "Don't read anything if it's more than 140 characters." And so, yeah, of the many things that I think is going on that I really hope happens from what is a very sad series of economic hard times that we're having now, likely going to continue having, I am so excited about the reevaluation of hiring and firing. Like so many things today, I'm sad to see that it's getting so bad that it has to break apart and reform. But oh boy, am I excited about how skills-based hiring could reform. There is so much value there. There is so much demand. I don't know what it's going to be, because it's going to have to be a complete reevaluation of what qualifies someone for a job. And it may even be like I see a few places that are like somewhere between a restaurant and a fast food buffet, and they have some line cook positions, some like assistant management positions, some management positions, but they have a lot of titles just called team member, service team member. And I'm kind of wondering if that's the model we're actually moving to in companies, where people come in with a somewhat generic title, and then there's an evaluation of exactly where they fit that is actually somewhat fluid, somewhat liquid. Their responsibilities may move around. And if I look back at the way the most effective teams functioned across the majority of my like 20-something year career, that was happening anyway. The titles were not that accurate, and the person who everybody went to for questions or who knew you should, was the expert in this area but not that area, or could get this paperwork through or could understand that document or knew where that file from a long time ago was stored. It was a bit fluid, and there were titles and there were roles and there were teams, But I wonder if we're moving towards a model of you get hired as a skilled individual, and then your actual job responsibility is either defined as you arrive or somewhat morphs into something else. And wow, if that happened in a major way, I think we could kick productivity, accuracy, value, insight, innovation, and employment and stimulate the economy absolutely into high gear. Wow. That actually sounds like a beautiful working world that I am sad to say I've never seen. And I'm going to say something kind of cheesy, which is I hope I get to meet that working world someday. My name is Firecrow Silver Knight. I'm your host, the project that keeps on projecting, that is kind of inspired by and behind a lot of these concepts, is Compare Basic, which you can find at comparebasic.com. And I will see you next week.